SBS Radio.
I am Sharka Pichová on NITV Radio in conversation with Kent Morris, artist, educator and curator. You can see Kent's work on a large scale now in Melbourne. Uptown is Australia's largest outdoor gallery that popped up in Melbourne's Bourke Street. With Kent Morris, we are speaking about his art, about Uptown, and also about his inspiration and his plans for 2021.
Hello, Shaka. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Yeah, doing very well. Thank you.
Kent, please, can you introduce yourself? Even though I'm pretty sure many of our listeners actually know you from previous interviews.
Yeah, hi, of course. My name is Kent Morris. I'm an artist of Barkindji and Irish heritage. Barkindji people are from the northwest of New South Wales. So Barkin means river, and that's the Darling River. And so that river runs from Wentworth all the way up through Wilcannia, Tilbury and Louth, and right up to Bourke, which is northern Barkindji people, Gunu people, my ancestral homelands on my father's mother and father's side, and Irish heritage on my mother's side. And I also lead The Torch, an organisation that supports Indigenous offenders and ex-offenders in Victoria.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. You're part of this Uptown exhibition, which is a unique project, which is actually outdoor gallery. Can you tell us more about your work that you're presenting there?
Yes, look, it's a fantastic initiative, the Uptown. It's a huge gallery curated at the top end of Bourke Street in very unique and interesting aspects of the city. And my work is an 8 metre by 8 metre work, which you see as you look down the laneway that heads you to the Wilson car park there. And so it's really a kind of a work you can see from right across the other side of the road, and as you head towards the car park, and of course everyone entering and exiting that car park will be kind of greeted with an image, which is my work Never Alone number 2. It's the second in the Never Alone series, which looks at how, through a First Nations lens, you're never alone on country. You're always connected to all of the plants and animals, the land, the sea and the sky, and of course everyone else, but not to think of our existence just as interactions between human beings, that again, through a First Nations philosophical viewpoint, you are connected to and have respect for and responsibility for all living things and all land forms. So we say you're never alone on country, and of course never alone in life or in death, given that interconnection to not only the all living things and beings, but that constant ongoing connection to the universe and to the beyond as well, and that cyclical time that we share together.
That is beautiful. How does this artwork look like? Because I know you're using photography, but it's digital photography. So when you look at it for the first time, it looks more like this very abstract painting. And only when you take a second look, you actually see it's like photos put together.
Yeah, look, all my works are just created from one single photograph. They're constructed from one photograph that I take while walking on country. People think I spend a lot of time in front of a computer, which I don't. I spend a lot of time walking on the land and interacting and understanding how native birds particularly have adapted to and interact with the built environment and with the changes to environment and landscape, and how some of the meaning of their stories and songs. You know, we have the oldest birds in the world, songbirds, you know, parrots, pigeons, all of those families originated here in Australia over 50 million years ago and then went out to populate the rest of the world. So it's not surprising that so many of these beautiful birds make up so many First Nations creation stories and totem animals, and their importance is highly regarded in terms of communicating songs, spirituality, stories. But again, if we look at it in a different way, also we have so many, not only birds, but many of our native animals under threat, some already extinct, and that's very heartbreaking, but some still under great threat and under great duress. So again, how do we think about how we're connected and not just to each other as people, but you know, to the broader environment, and also to see the importance of having a balance around sustainability, around the incredible importance of our native plants and native animals and all that interaction that makes a healthy ecosystem, because without a healthy country, you can't have healthy people. So just trying to get people to think in a different way around the significance of some of these birds. The image has a beautiful Nankeen night heron that became far more available, I guess, far more adventurous during the COVID lockdown, because there was less people, less traffic, and became less elusive, less reclusive. And I think that's how things should be. So I had some very beautiful interactions with that heron, and on the night walks, if I didn't see that heron, it was like missing a family member or friend. And I think that's how we should feel about nature and the natural world. It's something that we are interconnected with and strongly related to. We shouldn't just see it as an economy to exploit at any cost.
Do you feel this is changing, this approach to nature? Do you feel now there's a shift?
Oh, no, when you're enough of a shifter. And no, look, I think you can look at the catastrophic events that we're experiencing, whether it's the bushfires, whether it's even COVID-19, around that inability for the world to have some respect and keep some distance and change and rethink and reshape the way we view nature and the natural world again, to not just view it as an economy that's there for the taking. So I think we're seeing initiatives here and there, but certainly not enough on a global scale to mitigate some of the extraordinary events we're seeing and weather events and just how things are interrelated. So many of the catastrophes we have would be avoided if there was a far more distinct and direct understanding, and particularly looking at it through a First Nations lens, that the interconnectedness of all things, how important it is to maintain sustainability and a balance, and we're so far out of balance. We can only hope and pray that all of the good work in terms of advocacy and activism and expressions through art and music and theatre and writing and philosophy and science particularly can bring about some serious change, so we can get back or get on a journey back towards some kind of sustainable balance.
Well, for sure this year has taught us that, we are out of balance. What did you personally experience this year? How was it for you?
Oh, look, it's obviously very challenging on a lot of fronts. But again, I think there was a reinforcement around the importance of First Nations philosophies and ways of interacting with the world. And even if you look at the processes that were put in place by First Nations communities around Australia, the first people that were protected and seen as the most at risk and also the most important and valuable were our elders. And so First Nations communities did an extraordinary job of identifying risk early, putting processes in place early, and protecting those that are the most important but also the most vulnerable. So I think we've learned a lot. I've learned a lot, not only personally but professionally through my work, and how important it is to be flexible and be able to reinvent the wheel when necessary, and to keep your focus and provide, I guess, solutions. Think outside the square. This is what we need to do as a society and as a global community, is to really think differently. We need to really rethink how we are progressing forward and what outcomes do we really want for the generations to come.
How did this year reflect in your art as well?
Yeah, look, absolutely. So the work that's part of Uptown, the first work in that series was part of the ACCA Who's Afraid of Public Space project. So this year has really seen not a change in my process, but a change in my thinking, and of course a focus on what we're experiencing together as a community. And I'd hope that the work at Uptown, which is, I went into town yesterday, it's kind of fantastic. You're in this outdoor gallery. So if you really love art galleries and finding that, some of the restrictions or there's a big line to go and see the NGV Triennial, which I'm looking forward to seeing, but if some of the restrictions or anxiety about going into galleries is, still with you, then you've got this extraordinary outdoor gallery with so many amazing works. I think there's around 20 or so works artists like Bill Henson, Stephen Rohr, Destiny Deacon. I mean, the list goes on, Polly Bull. And so I think this is a way again to rethink how we might view art and how do we incorporate art into the built environment and into spaces that we all inhabit, and where I think art should be to express these ideas and these real diversity of ideas. There's, you know, there's honesty, there's intelligence and emotion all mixed together, and you're out in the fresh air having a look at them.
For sure. Can we tap into your plans for 2021 in terms of art?
Yes, you can. There's a lovely exhibition opening early February at the Monash University Museum of Art. And interestingly, given what we're talking about, it's called Tree Story. And that looks at a whole lot of issues and ideas around the environment through different lenses. There's some beautiful work from First Nations artists like Brian Martin, Nikki Cumston, Brooke Andrew, and there's a whole lot of views around the environment and nature and the importance of country and our relation to it from artists from all around the world. And that's on the 6th of Feb, and I'm fortunate to be part of that. It's also something exciting. I'm working on a large commission for the University of Technology in Sydney, which is my first large video work. So I'll be keeping busy over summer.
That sounds interesting. You're going to use video. Are you still going to use this format of like picture that's like composed, or is it just one picture that we will see? Yeah.
No, absolutely. It's taken on a bit of a large theme. It's around the formation, the retention, the transmission, and the ever accumulation of knowledge, you know, again, through a First Nations lens. So all of those beautiful, I guess, designs that I reshape the environment to reflect, to do with Indigenous histories and knowledge systems, kinship and country, and how that, again, the sustainability, interconnectedness is the key. So that's always the central focus, but this will just be one that's moving.
I'm really curious to see that. Well, thank you so much for your time and talking to us about this amazing project in Melbourne in Bourke Street.
Yeah, look, I really encourage everyone to go into town to see the exhibition uptown. Beautiful QR codes have been sort of embedded and videos pop up of artists telling the stories of the works. It's really quite extraordinary. So that outdoor, like I said, an outdoor gallery experience, and some surprises and very unique ways to present work within a city and the built environment. It's a ripper.
Mm-hmm. How long is it going to be there?
Yes. Now, look, started on the 15th, so it's only been up for a week or so, and it will be up until the 28th of February next year. So plenty of time to get in there and really immerse yourself in art on someone an incredibly large scale, and you know, within shop windows and in cafes, and it's beautiful.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Kent.
Thanks, Shaka.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.